Well, good morning. It's Monday. It's January 9th, 2012, and we're glad you're here, and God Almighty loves you, and we're excited to see what He's going to do today in and through our lives, in and through this radio ministry, in and through these special guests in the studio. Not everyone is in the studio, and in fact, Larry Budget Tours Bunning is acting as a babysitter because little Dominique is running around the house holding Mr. Deacon. I don't think I've ever seen my cat held in such unusual poses and methods and ways, but Mr. Deacon's going to be a changed cat after today. But Dominic might even do a cameo appearance into the studio at some point. But Larry Budget Tours is acting as babysitter. Thank you, Larry. He's somewhere roaming around the house trying to keep up with Dominic. Now, how old is Dominic, Danny?
Oh, she's five.
Okay, so she's five. And then your other daughter, Endy, here's in the studio. Endy, how old are you?
I'm 11.
You're 11, and you were recently with us on a special trip to Israel. And Danny, I've known you just really from the Israel trip and orientation, but you're from Haiti. You were born in Haiti, and we're going to talk a little about Haiti and the earthquake. And the two-year anniversary is actually this Thursday, so we're going to get a little update and learn a little about Haiti and how you came to know the Lord there and through your life experiences. I see little Beamer has made it into the studio. Dominique, hey, say hi to our listeners, Dominique.
Hi.
Say it nice and loud. You're away from, she's holding on to Mr. Deacon, and she's about the size of Mr. Beamer, so he thinks he has like a twin sister here or something. It's real unusual. Beamer's not used to children. He's kind of experiencing this, hey, there are people my size too. Well, anyway, let me begin this morning's program with a special verse out of Lamentations. Oh, yeah. We'll hold off. We'll let you say something in a little while, Dominique. But we're going to read out of Lamentations chapter 3. And Pastor Randy at the First Baptist Church of Champaign in Savoy delivered a message on why we suffer and his desire for the church and for the community to worship the Lord in special ways, to grow in our commitment to following Christ and to serve others. And he had kind of this threefold vision of worshiping, growing, and serving. But he began with Lamentations 3:19 through 24, and I'm going to read that because he talked about why do we suffer. And some of it has to do with, it's just a part of life. It's just what happens in this fallen world. Sometimes we suffer because of our sin, and it could be because we're willfully sinning, or because we've wandered, or unknowingly we've fallen into sin, or just because of circumstances around us. And he gave three different illustrations, like the lost son, the one who really squandered his inheritance and walked away from his family and was very intentional on sinning. Then he gave the illustration of the lost sheep. The lost sheep had just wandered from the flock, and because of circumstances, you know, we can wander away. And then like the coins, you know, the one coin was just lost, not because of its own mishandling, because of others and so forth. So oftentimes we suffer because of sin or others' sins, or because God's disciplining us, so we suffer through that refinement, or because of we're followers of a Christ, and sometimes we suffer because we represent Him, and there happens to be persecution, or maybe we're being put down for our faith or whatever. But anyways, he said we do suffer, but the Bible has the answer, and we need to run to God when we suffer. And here's an interesting passage out of Lamentations, beginning with Lamentations 3:19 through 24. And it says, I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for His compassion never fails. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore I will wait for Him. The Lord is good for those who hope is in Him, to the one who seek Him. Oh, isn't that a good verse? I mean, Danny, couldn't you just kind of chew on those nuggets and that inspiration that God is close to us, that His mercies are new every morning, that His faithfulness is what sustain us or support us because He's the one that's faithful. Even when we're unfaithful, that we don't have to be downcast. We can have hope because we serve a good God. The Lord is good, and He's good to those who hope is in Him. And so I want to have you share a little of your faith story and why you've placed your hope in Him, because you've not had it easy. You've lived in Haiti. You've grown up in an environment that was at sometimes dangerous, or poverty, or people acted out. You weren't raised in a Christian home, and yet I've met your father. He seems like a wonderful man, and God has worked through the years. You're one of 10 children, and so you have 5 brothers and 4 sisters, or is it 5 sisters? Okay, I didn't know. I knew you were one of 10, and you had 5 and 5, so 5 brothers, 4 sisters. So maybe before you share some of your testimony, tell us a little about Haiti. What's it like? I've never been to Haiti, so tell us what it's like, where Haiti is located, some of the things about Haiti that might be interesting for our listeners to know.
Well, thank you for having me.
And yeah, I was going to say, and by the way, thanks for coming to the studio here and being available to share some of your story. And like I said, I'm interested to hear the rest of the story because we got to spend some time together in Israel. But oftentimes on those trips, there's so much going on and teaching and talking that you get to hear aspects of people's lives. But I'm hoping to learn a little more about you. I know you love the Lord. I know you're excited to share your faith with others. I know you want to serve people and be used of God. But before we talk about some of those aspects, share a little about Haiti.
Well, again, thank you for having me here. A little bit shy. And well, Haiti, it's one of the cutest islands in the Caribbean. I grew up in Haiti until I was 25 or so, well, 24, 25. Haiti, you know, because of the location, it's like a warm country where maybe everybody wants to be, especially on winter time. But we've been having lots of trouble since, you know, first the island had the Indians, and later Spanish migration, the French. We had many people came there.
And you're talking about the 1500s?
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
So way back.
Yeah, way, way back then. So, well, basically, Haiti, like you know, it's one of the islands in the Caribbean, and it's also one of the poorest countries. Sometimes I say it's a blessing that I grew up there, because the fact that I grew up there did teach me the value of things, because not having many things, it's like I have to depend more on God. But Haiti in general, it's, I can say like 85% of the population don't know how to read. And, you know, whatever education is not really high, poverty is going to reign there. But beside of the lack of education, the people also very poor, like most people will know. And we try to make ends meet. We used to live on a $2 budget, you know. But
wait, did you just say you lived on like a $2
budget?
So your budget was $2
a day. Yeah,
$2 a day. Many of us with a vending machine, a can of pop or a 2 liter or whatever, there's $2 right there.
Yeah.
So that's what you would live on. Your family of 10.
Yeah.
I mean, 10 children and then your parents.
Yeah. I mean, and it's like it's almost like a norm. But the interesting things with Haiti is the fact that you have the 85% who are like analphabet or poor, and then you have a little, maybe like 2 or 3% that are wealthy. But I think it, like all society have that imbalance somewhere, somehow. But in Haiti, it's really, you can really see it. But one thing I like with the country, in spite of people being poor, people are always happy. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I wonder if it's because we're used to it that it doesn't bother us, or maybe it's just that we are happy people. Things got worse and worse and worse. We have some political problems, and we have some religious problem as well, because of the fact that many people choose the voodoo religion, that we know that it's like being away from God. We also have the earthquake 2 years ago that really shook the country a little bit. Actually, I shouldn't say a little bit, because when I went home after the earthquake, and it was really, I mean, it's...
Yeah, devastating.
Yeah,
I mean, it wiped out everything.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it's like my house, part of it, my neighborhood, because I grew up in Port-au-Prince, and I don't know, it makes me a little emotional, mm-hmm. just to, from what I saw and from what I heard, it's still like that till today. I mean, many places, they do help, because we have lots of help, but we need so much more help. I'm talking about prayers and everything, basically everything.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what's some of the things growing up that you fondly remember about your time in Haiti, besides just the friendships? Tell us a little about your family, and we're going to share a little of your faith story, but share a little more about Haiti. So from the perspective as a child, yeah, you grew up poor, but most everyone you knew was poor, or the situation. But when did you start educating yourself? I mean, you're very bright. I know you're studying a lot of different languages, and you've been very self-taught. Was that something you learned early on, that education is really important? That's what's going to help you launch out of poverty? Or tell us a little about your family.
Well, basically, I mean, you see, like, my dad, he was in the military, and we didn't grow up with a mother figure. Because, like, for example, my mom passed away when I was very young. I was about 15. My mom and dad, they were constantly out of the house trying to provide for us. So I realized very early when I was growing up that the best way really to get out of poverty was to educate myself. And I remember I would spend countless hours in the library, and I would just learn basically everything, and which I still do. I love learning. So it's just like going from down. And then step by step, I try to find my way. But, of course, I have to depend on God to make it through.
Now, when you said you spent countless hours or many hours in the library, your 11-year-old daughter, Andy, here, smiled and looked at you. So are you encouraging her to spend a lot of time in the library? She kind of just smiled, and I thought, there's something going on over there. What did you hear from your mom when she was saying that?
Well, I mean, like, what do you mean by it?
Well, I'm just thinking, you were just kind of smiling. Are you encouraged to spend a lot of time studying and in the books and in the library?
Yeah, like, I do. I like learning as well, but obviously not as much as mother. Yeah, but, like, yeah, I enjoy learning, and, like, if I know I'm going to learn something, it's more like I want to learn it than if it's just kind of out of the blue. But, like, I like to go to the library and, you know, learn stuff, but
yeah, but yeah, you've had a little easier here. You were born in the United States, in Illinois, in fact, around the Kankakee area. So you've kind of grown up, at least, you know, in circumstances here in the States that are a little more favorable and easier. But so back to you, Danny. So you're growing up, you're learning, you know, with your 9 other brothers and sisters, and with your dad being in the military, and them out oftentimes trying to provide, you know, food to put on the table. You're kind of raising yourself, or you're being raised with your other brothers and sisters. But whether it was God in your life or helping you, what drove you to start learning to self-educate? Was it an awareness that God loved you, or did that come later? Like, what's some of that story where God was at work in your life?
Basically, when I look and watch TV, for example, and I will see things, you know, and I always have big dreams. And I will want, what I mean by big dreams, I knew I didn't want to be where I was. I didn't want to spend my entire life with one pair of shoes or two pair of shoes, you know. And I was like, you know, the best way to do it, I have to educate myself, because I believed in school, but I thought, okay, that's not enough. I have to do it myself. And I remember I was like about Andy's age, and I was in the library, and I would read encyclopedia, and I would read basically anything. And when I came to United States, I didn't know English, for example, and I decided, you know what, I didn't want to go to school, because the school where I was living was like far. I didn't have a car, and it was cold. I didn't want to take the bus, and I decided, well, I'm going to teach myself English.
Now, you're about 25 years old at
yeah,
this time?
Yeah, that's later on. Yeah, okay. Exactly. So it's just like, since I was little, I was just learning different things. I remember I would like memorize encyclopedia. I mean, just now, probably, I don't remember as much, but I will read anything. And when I came here, the process kept on going. So that's why, like, I taught myself many languages. And another thing, when I travel, like, for missionary purpose, so I feel comfortable because I can just translate or just, and I feel more blended too because of that. But knowledge, and wherever I go, I always encourage people, you know, God first, education second, because if you don't have God, education doesn't worth anything. But if you have God and you back it up with education, you're learning about God, you're learning about everything else, then you have a brighter future. So
yeah, no, that's beautiful. In case you just tuned in and you're like, hey, I hear some interesting voices here. In the studio with me is Danny and her 11-year-old daughter, Endy. And Danny was born in Haiti, I won't say exactly how many years ago, but a number of years ago, and her first basically about 25 years. She grew up in Haiti and has been in the States for a number of years. The name is, your official name is not Danny, because I had to work through that on the passport, and you know, that you had a kind of a combination of names. And so what's your proper name that was given to you in Haiti? What's your formal name, if you will?
Well, my formal name is Denaline. Actually, it's Mary Denaline Almonod. But the thing is, people don't call me like that unless I'm in trouble. So, that's why, I mean, I have been like Danny, so just like Dan, Danny, or whatever starts with D. So I go with that.
Okay, you go with that. And you've been in the States for...
Over 12 years, almost 13 now.
And you live in Savoy, and you attend the Meadowbrook Community Church. Oh, and you have a great pastor, Ron Stroud, over there. We've interviewed him, I think, before some years ago. And so you're with a great body of believers. And you have a real heart for missions. In fact, that was one of the reasons you wanted to go on the Israel trip, because I talked about opportunities to serve. And somewhere down the road, Great News Radio was going to do another humanitarian mission trip. I haven't officially announced anything yet, but we're kind of praying through maybe in April of 2013, where we would serve in a number of ways and do some unique things, and that way some people could raise some support. I think half the trip costs could be raised by individuals, and I got to still pray a lot of that through. I think I need about a year away from all the trips and all the things that I've been having to juggle of late, but we're thinking maybe sometime in April of 2013. But you have a real heart for missions, for reaching out to people, and even reaching back out to your country of Haiti. I'm looking at the clock and knowing we only have a couple minutes left, and we haven't gotten to share much of your faith story and how God revealed himself to you and how you walk closely with him. And even when you walk closely with God, there's disappointment and heartache, and sometimes circumstances can almost work against your faith. It's like, God, I'm surrendering, I'm submitting, I'm following you. Why isn't my life just working out really easy? And yet then you've also seen God provide even for the trip and other things that you've needed when you've needed them. Your bills have been paid, and you've seen him provide in unique ways. So I think I'm going to ask you to come back tomorrow, and we can talk a little more about the faith story. But maybe in our closing few minutes, with the two-year anniversary of that big tragedy, the earthquake, and all the devastation that went on in Haiti, how can we pray for the country? And in some maybe unique ways that we can be mindful of ways to support others that are there. And I haven't totally prayed this up, but I've talked to a few people and said, wouldn't it be great if Great News Radio did a humanitarian trip maybe to Haiti or some other areas? And so we'll see how God works that all out. It's like I get these ideas and then I pray them up and then I look for confirmation and then I look for it to be falling under our goals with the radio ministry, educate, edify, and evangelize. And yet I think we could do a unique service and work through our listeners and through the resources. But how can we pray for Haiti? And we'll have you come back tomorrow and we can talk some more about your testimony on our Testimony Tuesday program.
Well, oh man, Haiti needs a lot of prayers. I mean, prayers. Because not only we have the devastation from the earthquake, but we also need more people. We need the people to learn more about God. We need the people to turn to God, because he's the only one really who can do the ultimate things we're looking for. I mean, the best way is asking God to touch the heart of every single Haitian people. For the politicians, I mean, we really need people to turn toward God with like a faithful heart. That's primary things we need.
And one thing you have seen as a result of the earthquake and the Christian organizations showing up is that they did bring about some change. I mean, it's right now, it's still kind of short term and early on and in that process, but you saw the goodwill of Christians coming out and testifying and witnessing and serving. And so that has made somewhat of an impact over these past couple of years, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Because when I went there, I had the chance to see many different organizations. And they are touching lives not only with prayers or finance, but the fact that they are there, they are witnessing, they are testifying for God. They did change, and they're still changing lots of lives, and I praise God for that.
Well, Danny and your sidekick here, we haven't really gotten much of your story, but we're going to have you back tomorrow, and we can hear a little more about what you experienced as an 11-year-old visiting the Holy Land and walking where Jesus walked. And then, Danny, we want to spend some time just on hearing the narrative of how God's been at work in your life. You didn't grow up in a Christian home, and yet you faithfully follow the Lord Jesus because he's worthy of our passion. He's worthy of our worship. He's worthy of our lives. And so I would ask our listeners to be in prayer for Haiti, and we're going to learn a little more about Danny tomorrow through her testimony and her sharing. And for those of you that have not stopped by our website, greatnewsradio.org, we've been talking about this for about a week. We have streaming audio of both stations, so we'd love for you to test that out and let us know if it's working for you. And you can email us at staff@greatnewsradio.org. And rumor has it, I haven't called the Virginia Theater to verify things this weekend, but apparently those tickets for the Steve Green, Michael Card, Twyla Paris, Wayne Watson are going on sale. They're $11 general admission tickets. We can fill that Virginia Theater with 1,521 of our Great News Radio listeners. The cost is only $11, and that's because we have some great sponsors that are helping us underwrite the costs of things. We're looking for a few more, and we're praying up a couple appointments that Steve Carmichael had this past Friday and this past week, and we appreciate Jamie Cheshire of Cheshire Financial. They're being one of our major sponsors of this event, and it's going to be a listener appreciation event that we want you all to attend, but we'll have more to say probably on Wednesday or Thursday's program, but they're going to go fast, and we firmly believe we'll fill the whole Virginia Theater with an evening of celebration, of worship, of testimony, and we hope you can be a part of that. So I'll give out some more information on Wednesday, but the Virginia Theater, I think, is selling tickets to our listener appreciation evening, and that's Thursday night, March 29th. So get that on your calendar, and we'll share and say more about it in the coming days. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.